Let's read together Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. Now in this first section of Luke chapter 7, we have two miracles of our Lord showing his power over disease and his power over death. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, Do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 7 with some background notes. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, we have a description of the blessings of the eternal state for the believer. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. In the miracles of Jesus, with his power over the four D's, we have a glimpse of that wonderful future. Four D's? What do we mean by the four D's? Disease, death, demonic, and disaster. In the eternal state, there will be no more disease, and no more death, and no more demonic activity, and no more natural disaster. All of these problems will be gone forever because all of these problems are the result of sin. If sin had not entered God's moral universe, the four D's would not exist. There would have been no hurricanes in the perfect sin-free world that God created. Romans 8, verse 22 says that the whole creation now groans because of sin. But praise the Lord. Because of the work of Christ on the cross and dealing with the problem of sin, we can look forward to a perfect eternal state. Now we have a glimpse and foretaste of that wonderful future in the miracles of Jesus, where his power is manifested over disease, over death, over the demonic, and over natural disaster. Here in Luke chapters 7 and 8, we have several of our Lord's miracles grouped together which show our Lord's power over these four areas. In the first miracle here in Luke chapter 7, we see the Lord's power over disease with his healing of the Roman centurion's servant. This Roman military commander lived in the Capernaum area and probably was a proselyte of Judaism. That is, he did not worship the Greek and Roman gods, but recognized the God of the Jews as the one true God. In fact, this centurion must have recognized that Jesus was the predicted Messiah because he addressed him as Lord. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point, which is the Lord is impressed with great faith. The Lord is impressed with great faith. This Roman centurion was not your typical Roman soldier. Not only does he appear to be a Jewish proselyte, but he was very generous to the Jewish people. The Jewish elders told Jesus in verse 5 that this Roman centurion loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. By the way, parts of that first century synagogue can be seen today at Capernaum, underneath the remains of the fourth century synagogue, which is still standing there. This Roman centurion was also atypical in that he cared for a sick slave. Roman soldiers were certainly not known for their kindness to slaves. And so the centurion sent some of the Jewish elders to Jesus on his behalf, requesting that the Lord come and heal his slave. And then we see in verse 6 that the centurion apparently had second thoughts when he realized that the Lord was actually willing to come to his house. Or maybe he was just trying to save the Lord from having to enter a Gentile house, which would have been frowned on by the Jewish community. Whatever the case, the centurion recognized that as long as Jesus just spoke the word, his servant would be healed. The Lord did not have to actually be there. This was evidence of great faith on the part of this centurion. Incidentally, there is no problem harmonizing Luke's account of this event here with the parallel account in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew's account does not mention the fact that the centurion first sent some Jewish elders to the Lord with the initial request. After the centurion sent other friends to inform the Lord that the Lord did not have to trouble himself to come into a Gentile house, apparently the centurion himself followed up and met the Lord and confirmed the message that he had given his friends. In verse 9, we read that Jesus marveled because of the great faith of the centurion. Now, what was it that impressed the Lord about this centurion's faith? The centurion understood the power of authority. As a military commander, when he spoke an order, his will was carried out. He just had to say the word. The power and authority of the Roman army and Roman Empire was behind his word. This centurion recognized that in the same way, the Lord Jesus had the power and authority of heaven behind him. All he had to do was speak a command, and everything involved had to obey, even whatever was causing his slave's sickness. This was great faith, and the Lord marveled. And the Lord is still impressed with great faith. Great faith is not measured by great results, but by great trust and belief in the Lord's power and authority, regardless of the results. This centurion had great faith regardless of whether or not the Lord chose to heal his slave. What is the measure of our faith? The Lord is impressed with great faith. Doctrinal point number 2. The Lord is concerned about great need. The Lord is concerned about great need. In the second miracle of this portion of the chapter, Luke chapter 7, we see the Lord's compassion for a woman in great need. She was a widow, and now her only son and her only means of support in that culture had died. She is in great need. It was not by chance that the Lord just happened to go that day to the city called Nain in the area of Nazareth. And it was not by chance that he just happened to approach the gate of the city at the same time that the funeral procession just happened to be coming out of the city. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw the woman, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." There is no way that the Lord would just pass by this woman in great need. And there is no way that the Lord just passes by people in great need today. The Lord knows and cares, and help is available. Unfortunately, some folks in great need refuse God's help. Notice that the Lord told the woman not to weep before he raised her son back to life. I think we have a lesson here for any believer who may be grieving the loss of a fellow believer right now. The Lord would comfort you and say, "Don't weep now. You will see your loved one again because I will raise that person up and you will be reunited in glory." This is the great hope of the believer and the teaching of Scripture. So our weeping is temporary. The Lord is concerned about great need. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Luke chapter 7? Let the Lord heal with a word from a distance. Let the Lord heal with a word from a distance. The Lord healed the centurion slave with a word from a distance. Can he do that today? Of course he can. Healers and gifts of healing and laying on of hands are not needed for the Lord to heal you or someone else if that is his will. Bring your request to the Lord in prayer and let the Lord heal with a word from a distance. Practical application number 2. Don't miss the spiritual picture of salvation from Nain. Don't miss the spiritual picture of salvation from Nain. Nain was the town where the Lord raised the dead boy to life and gave him back to his mother. She was about to bury her only hope in this life. What would she do now? No husband, no son to provide for her, probably no chance of remarriage, and in that culture, no opportunity for work. But when all seemed lost, the Lord appeared just at the right time and at the right place and brought new life and joy and blessing. Let's not miss the spiritual picture of salvation that we have here. Remember, all the miracles of the Lord Jesus not only demonstrated his power as the Son of God, but they were designed to dramatize his teaching and the truth of Scripture. Here in this miracle of the dead son raised to life, certainly we have a picture of salvation. The dead boy pictures our lost and dead condition because of sin. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says that before our salvation, we were dead in trespasses and sin. And sin results in sadness and grief and devastation and hopelessness. All of this is pictured in the grief and hopelessness of the mother, as well as in the crowd of mourners. But the Lord Jesus came and met the widow in her grief and had compassion on her and brought the miracle of new life to the dead boy. In the same way, the Lord Jesus has come to us in our need because of sin and its effects. He has had compassion on us in our lost and hopeless condition, and he has brought new life to our dead souls. Again, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. What joy there must have been for that mother and son from Nain. They had experienced the touch and life-giving word of the Lord Jesus, and now they had the joy and blessing of new life. What a great picture of salvation. Don't miss the spiritual picture of salvation from Nain.